This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Hey, welcome to Surreal Talk. You know, look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. I'm Armand, and we're here today with the Hicks brothers.
I don't sound like that.
It's in my voice, Armand. Is this my impression or yours?
I think he was talking about your English accent.
Oh, mate, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you fucked that all up.
Oh.
I could be wrong. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Surreal Talk. We've got Armand, as always, with his sidekicks, Eric and Everett.
Yeah, right.
Jump right into last week, Doomsday. We were doing the day after Doomsday, talking about what our plans would be if, you know, we were the last men on Earth, so to speak. Armand, you pooped all over it.
Shit on it.
I expired.
Yeah, man. We nearly had to hire an assassin for you after that. But you're here again this week. And
I would have starved.
Yeah, you'd die. You'd be dead if it came down to it. I think I would live. I think I could live to a pretty much an old age, as long as the dentist need isn't there.
I don't think that's my biggest deal.
I'm not aware of your survival history. Where's your training come from?
He thinks he's a survivalist.
Really?
Yes.
This guy?
He has a Boy Scout knife. He has a Swiss Army knife, and that's all he needs.
That's all I need.
Yeah, right.
You guys think you could do any better than me surviving?
I don't know. One feral rabbit would probably kill him.
Well, a feral rabbit, huh? I didn't know rabbits got feral.
Feral.
Feral just means non-indigenous. So.
No, feral means wild. F-E-R-A-L.
Yeah, feral is wild, for sure.
Wild, yeah.
Armand, didn't you say you could
undomesticated?
Even, you couldn't even like rig up one of those slings, like the things that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hit anything.
I'm not talking about that kind of thing. Or maybe it's like a slip knot just for a rabbit to run through and fucking. You could catch food. I'm telling you. I know if you got hungry enough, you'd catch a fucking something to eat.
I'd probably just eat tree bark or something.
Anyway,
something poisonous.
I wanted to talk about what we're going to do for the next few weeks. So next week, there will not be a show on Wednesday. Whether we do one on Tuesday or Thursday, I'm not sure. But the plan next week, there will be no Wednesday show.
Why is that?
It's a holiday.
Today is a holiday.
It's a different holiday. It's a different religion.
Let's see. It's not Bastille Day.
That's the 14th.
14th, correct.
Right.
Anyway, so no show next week. The week after that, we're going to do the highly requested fucking missing people in parks.
Yeah, man, people have been asking about that for a long time. Apparently, Armand, he's got this real curious look on his face right now. People are disappearing in national parks in droves.
Well, you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Sell the land and...
Aliens.
Privatize the land and nobody will disappear.
Privatize the parks?
Yeah, get rid of them.
Why would that make nobody disappear? So
there's nobody go. They'd be private property and stay the hell off them.
What would you do with them then? Just
We wouldn't have to talk about them. We wouldn't have to drill for oil.
That's what you should be
doing. You want to drill for oil in Yosemite?
Hell yeah. They can have it.
We wouldn't be talking
about
people
Yosemite?
Missing.
Yes, I lived
parks.
In California. Of course.
So
I'm
why would you want to fuck that place up?
It's not. Well, there's nothing going on there. You've seen El Capitan once. You've seen it a million times.
What about Half Dome?
There's no super volcano.
What?
None of that shit's going on.
Sell it.
What about Mariposa then?
Do you think the federal government should own 50% of the land west of the Mississippi? What do we do with that? I don't see why they wouldn't. Why?
I mean,
sell it and pay off the debt.
Sell it to whom?
China.
Whoever wants to buy it. Whoever wants to buy it.
All right. Well, we're getting off topic here, but
Monsanto.
Next week or week after, rather, we'll be talking about the missing parks stuff.
I didn't know it was such a rash of.
I didn't either. I didn't either. But apparently, you go to a fucking national park.
God, man, watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, you're going missing, dude. That's period. That's it.
Good thing I stay the hell out of them. I'd rather go to Vegas anyway.
YouTube star, not on.
Nobody disappears
YouTube.
From casinos.
Shit, I don't know about that.
All the time.
Yes, I don't know about that, man. There's so many holes in the desert.
Only debtors. Yeah. Well, they deserved it.
But yeah, so next week, no show. The week after that, which is the 17th of July, will be missing people in parks.
All right.
Yeah. That's like a plan.
I feel like we'll find a few.
How about the 24th?
Come on, man. That's like distant future.
Said the next several weeks. I mean,
the next 2 weeks.
You said few weeks, not several.
Few weeks. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Everett, when I say evolution, what's a what do you think? I mean, explain it real quick, real easy, real simple.
Sure, you want to ask me? I think I should ask you. Let me ask you.
All right.
Eric, whenever I say evolution, what is the first things to come to your mind?
Fish gets out of water and now he walks like a lizard.
Human fish. Mermaids.
Mermaids.
Oh, like those things that
like a splash?
How about those things they put on the their cars? You see them with Darwin. You know, it's got the little fish.
True,
with
the fish. With it looks like a turtle.
Yeah, but it's got legs.
You know, no, I just think, you know, species evolving, getting better, actually getting more suited to their surroundings, you know, through natural selection.
Oh.
Who
coined that term?
Everett will know.
Charles Darwin.
There it is.
Oh, that's incorrect.
Well, hold on. Let me check my other notes because I got it was either him.
Spencer.
That's oh, yeah.
I don't care what your Spencer. Notes say. Herbert Spencer.
Hold on. It wasn't Alfred Russell Wallace.
No. He's the one that came up with the Wallace line.
Yes, true, true.
What's the Wallace
Herbert
line?
Herbert Spencer, I'm telling you.
Well, tell us what you know about Herbert.
He's a great conservative. You should read everything he's ever written. Trump very good.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
he's been dead a while, but I guess he would have been.
He would have been.
Okay. Yeah, but he was actually a very brilliant man. I've got the complete works. You can probably buy them on Kindle for like 99 cents. Worth it. But Herbert Spencer coined that term, natural selection. Or actually, it was...
I mean, it says you.
And then the survival of the fittest, which is not exactly what natural selection is.
No?
No, absolutely not.
What is it then? Let's hear it.
Well, it's actually survival of whoever reproduces. That's reproductive fittest.
See, I have a nice little alternate to this.
Okay.
So instead of saying natural selection, it should be more like selective pressure. For example, the dryness of a desert will pressure all species to have a greater resistance to dehydration, while the less adapted ones will die and be lost to history.
Correct. I'll buy that.
Does that make good sense to you?
I mean, I get it.
So to say natural selection is one thing, but it's kind of a forcing of your environment. If you can't.
It's whoever reproduces. That's all. I mean, for instance, you can take two rams, and they're very strong, and you've got a weak ram, and the two strong rams fight over the female, I guess it would be a sheep. And beat the crap out of each other and kill each other or render each other useless or unable to procreate, the weak lamb or the weak ram gets the lamb.
That's a very literal version of the term strong, but it's not wrong. It's most adapted, most well equipped.
Whoever procreates.
Doesn't have to be strong, right?
That's whoever gets laid.
Yeah, but wouldn't survival of the fittest still fall into that? Because you have to fight over, I mean, in most species, you have to fight for, you know, like you just said.
But how do you define fittest? It doesn't necessarily mean strongest. If your seed is, you're going to be smartest and impotent, well.
Exactly what I was trying to say. Strong is kind of a misnomer because it's more like the most fit, exactly, the fittest for their environment. So I think fit is a good word rather than the strongest.
Okay. I'm with it. Okay, no objection here.
Is that what you think? Is that the question, though? You were asking what you think of
it. No question. We're just discussing, man.
I mean, what do you think?
Did people think of that stupid thing you put on Facebook with my face at the bottom
actually,
of the chain?
Yeah, people do.
Yeah, they may be. Yeah, they may be thinking that now.
What about Howard the Duck?
Although I don't think humans actually evolved from that.
Let's drop right into that.
Well, there's because in that, you know, I was a knuckle walker while you two were upright, as I recall, in that depiction.
Yeah, you were even.
You're a lot older than us, though, Armand.
Humans probably never were knuckle walkers, actually. That's a totally different. There's a difference between a hominid, which is, let's see, how's this go? A hominid is just any primate, right? Down the chain. And then a hominin is something from which man descended.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, I mean, the big breakoff was bipedalism. That's, you know, that's why we have the smaller pelvis. A lot of the adaptations that men have made or humans have made over the, I guess, about 150,000 years, if you believe this.
You don't?
Because we walk upright.
You don't believe in evolution?
Feet.
Do you believe in evolution?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay. I agree with you, but there's a lot of fucking holes in it.
Sure, but there's a lot of holes in everything, except global warming. That's been proven beyond a doubt.
Global warming is not happening.
No. I mean,
we've got to the bottom of that.
I don't believe that. I
mean, everybody here's with her mom.
You knew I'd bring that one up.
It's getting hotter.
Of course, it's a meme at this point.
It's a meme.
It's mimetic.
Have you ever been to Iceland?
Mimetic.
Ever been to Iceland?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
All right, so what?
Nothing.
Where's that come from?
Just wondering, man.
Have you ever heard of Jean-Baptiste Lamarck?
Lamarck, yeah, Lamarckianism, yeah, the famous giraffe. You bring up. I didn't even read this. You had to bring up the giraffe necks,
correct?
Right?
The giraffe necks,
which is
so Lamarck believed that evolution happened from changes that happen over an animal's life. He felt that you could change environment, like environmental changes. So you should, like for the giraffe example, a giraffe needs to get leaves up in a tree. So their entire life, they stretch their neck and it gets a little bit longer over time.
And he passes that on to
their offspring somehow. We get that. And then the next generation, they'd stretch. And as time went on, that's how the giraffe was formed.
Which may not actually be wrong now. Because I don't know if you're talking about it on here, the epigenetics.
No, I didn't.
Epigenetics is a very interesting field. And it's almost bringing back Lamarckianism.
Really?
Yeah. To the point where, yeah, if you do, I mean, some of these are non-inheritable traits. So they're not actual changes in DNA.
Let me ask you this. So, like, if you go to the gym every day from the time you're 5 years old until you're 30, and you...
I think you can pass that on to your kids.
You think you can pass muscle structure?
How?
Okay.
What if your kid does it?
Yeah.
Also,
right.
His kid, say 10 generations down. Do you think that child is more predisposed to have better muscular... tone, shape, fitness.
I think so, because I mean the other thing, the other end of that is the Irish potato famine. Several generations over and over were, even after they were being well nourished, the kids were smaller. And that was over several generations. They've proven this, that these malnourished people somehow push that on in their gene without, it's not a, you know, there's no allele for being malnourished.
Just because you're starved and but maybe you get bowed legs because you don't have calcium.
There
you
are
can't
changes.
Pass along that.
Yeah, not my DNA.
That's what I'm saying. I was under the impression that the inherited traits like that were passed along.
So what's the mechanism?
DNA.
The mechanism is DNA is coiled around in a nucleosome. It's been a while since college here. I was a genetics major. The chromatin is actually, the DNA is coiled around a histone, which is a large protein, okay? Sure. This histone, there are DNA tails, et cetera, and what they're finding is that these become methylated or acetylated, which is just a modification of the DNA, the histone tails, et cetera, and not the DNA per se, because, you know, like, you know, three.
Tremors or something like that?
Yeah, well, three nucleotides is there's only four nucleotides, right? Thymine.
Armand, you should
guanidine,
know this.
Cytosine, guanidine, uracil, that's uracil, I think, is in plants.
Ginseng, ginkgo biloba.
No, it's ACTTA.
Taurine.
Tyrosine. I'm not sure what they are, but anyway, they code, three of them code for a protein. Okay, so anyway, none of this stuff affects any of that stuff.
No,
and it's the histones are actually affected, which is like what they. It's like almost like a little the skein that yarn is around.
Sure,
that's what it's. That's apparently affected, and that can be passed on. And it actually changes.
And it may change by environmental exposure.
Yes, it can be changed by the environment, correct.
So,
absolutely. And that is passed on to the offspring. And it does have something to do with, you know, the actual usage or the environment or, you know, like I said,
that's way different than anything we've ever been taught to believe.
Right. Believe me, I was taught that. I remember we used to make a joke about Lamarckianism. You know, we thought, boy, that guy's a crackpot.
Where have you read about the recent advances in this field of research?
Like anywhere, I read a couple books on epigenetics. On
epigenetics. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, epigenetics. Epigenetics.
Yep. I can spell Armand. Epigenetics.
Yes. Well, anyway. it's an interesting field because believe me, 35 years ago when I was taking this stuff in college, nobody, like I said, it was a joke. Lamarck was absolutely wrong. Everything's passed on from the DNA. You know.
So we had a couple good questions here that we were talking about. Like, so, you know, what do you mean by evolution? We already said, but what is macroevolution? Sorry, what is macroevolution?
I would assume that's what major changes in
looking at evolution over the entirety of special trees, you know what I mean? Rather than just at an individual special level.
As opposed to
looking at one beetle, you look at all the beetles and see how it goes.
All right.
And a lot of people get that, you know, this is the theory of evolution. They get that mixed up because they, you know, theories, it's just a theory. So like they don't use it in the scientific context.
So a lot of assholes say that it's just a theory. It's just a theory. I don't think they understand what a theory is.
Everything in science is just a theory, technically.
Well, theories don't just come up out of nowhere. They come from people having a hypothesis, which is what I think people have a problem with, a hunch.
Yeah, a hunch.
You know what I mean? I have an educated guess. I'm going to make a hypothesis out of it. Then what do you do to that hypothesis? You test that some bitch till the cows come home.
Yeah,
a bunch. And as soon as you can get a collection of results that point the same way, there's your theory.
You have your buddies test it too.
That's how you get, you know, scientific peer review.
Yeah. But that's, of course, assuming that your theory is testable, falsifiable, and reproducible. That's right. What Karl Popper, if you read, you know, scientific philosopher.
Won't do it.
Well, you should. Anyway, but that global warming fails on every level of that, by the way. But this
nice,
at least,
nice slide in
you know,
there.
But bastard, I wouldn't say bacteria. You know, of course they evolved because that's how you get a super infection, because certain species or certain more hardier
strains. So that's interesting, too. You could say, like, that's a really great argument. Well, think about it Lamarckian way. Those bacteria are exposed to antibiotics or antibodies that we use to kill them. Some of them survive and pass. Well, right. I guess
but that's from mutation. That's basically what that's from.
Because they already had their, okay. Yeah,
but I would posit, though, that it sounds like the more I read on epigenetics, the more it's Lamarckian. Really, it really is. There are like certain things, you know, that I don't know. I don't know. You know, they always say there's not a gene for playing the piano. But why was Mozart? I mean, Mozart's father was a hell of a composer himself. Was it completely the environment? I don't know. It's passed. There are certain traits that are passed down, and they're not, you know, inheritable. Technically, Mendelian genetics.
Give me one example.
Well, that one. And I think intellect also. I think intelligence too.
Is
I know a lot of people. Yeah, I think there's a non-genetic component to it.
See, I think there is a genetic component too, but I think intellect can be unlocked by someone with the will.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's
the same thing with anything else. You can be predisposed to being a muscular person, like you guys were saying earlier with the gym example. I don't think 10 generations of people going to a gym is going to produce a kid that's more. That's physically what
I'm
predisposed.
Well, I would. I'm changing my mind on that. I wouldn't think so, but.
I don't know.
I have no idea if it will. I won't live 10 generations to be able to know that. You know
well,
I mean?
But the side effect of the same argument is look how all dogs these days were created. Equal. By select breeding.
Well, that's a different. That's not natural selection. That's artificial selection.
Obviously. Fair enough. That's fair.
Still, that's forced evolution, though, right? I mean, we forced
he's right.
To evolve.
It's different than just going to the gym and exposing yourself to an environmental. This is a purposeful, seeing two sets of genetics that can mix to make a better set of genetics, so. I don't know. I was off.
Well, the thing about dogs is, you know, obviously the more the purer bred they are, obviously the more problems they have. Besides, you know, they may win the Westminster Kennel Club thing, or they can jump through a hoop or whatever the hell they have them do, and they have a nice haircut, but they have a lot of problems. You
that's
know, like
one of those
knees are bad.
Get deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. They have a lot of like orthopedic problems, etc. Because basically inbreeding.
All their joints are fucked.
Right, because that's why you're not supposed to have sex with your sister or whatever or your brother. Well, I guess you can have it with your brother. Who cares?
You never have.
Because you're not pretty appropriate.
I'll pass.
Just for the record.
I don't know. You guys are awful cute.
Well, that
would be on you, though, not us. Oh, like, why
right.
would you
so
think
I can breed
cute.
With both of you. That'd,
so,
that'd be great.
1850 comes around. Charles Darwin
publishes.
Are you
sure on that date? Was it 1850? I thought it was 1853.
Well, let's double check. Pretty sure.
He made it up.
Maybe when that was when it was published.
He fucking
Origin
made
of the Species,
sure.
1850?
Yeah, he said he made it up.
Huh, well, this here's got it in 1859.
Oh, that's right. That's correct. Yeah. Damn it, I should have known
fucking
that.
Interwebs, man, and articles. You can't read the first article every time and just write it down like it's right. fact.
Now,
so
not sure
1859,
that's,
either which way.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's may have been when he took his voyage on the Beagle.
He was much younger when he took his first voyage on the Beagle.
The 1830s, was it?
Yeah. So he was the naturalist on board.
Right.
That.
Fitzroy was the captain.
Right. So back in those days, naturalist is what we kind of think of as a biologist these days, but it wasn't such a... It wasn't a science, so to speak, as
really.
We think of it these days. It was a lot of observation, but it wasn't so much...
More documentation back then, probably.
More documentation.
Yeah, hell of a... Yeah, he almost turned back, too, apparently. He got so seasick at the beginning.
Darwin did?
He didn't have his sea legs.
Well, how could he make the whole ship turn back?
No, he almost said, take me back or drop me off. And
put
you screw
you.
Yeah. You're going, brother.
So on his voyages on the Beagle, they visit the Galapagos. He was on a five-year trek his first time out. Ugh. 5 fucking years. Can you imagine
Dummy.
That? Signing on to that, get on a boat.
Dude, fuck that. A boat for 5 years? Go
like
fuck
Star
yourself.
Trek.
Go fuck yourself. I'm
just
not
like Star
that.
Trek.
I'm not fucking
yeah,
doing that.
Yeah, 5-year mission.
I mean.
Civilizations.
It's not happening.
I don't.
Would you go on a boat for 5 years?
Think about it, Eric. You don't have a, say you're a 25-year-old person, done with everything your town's got to do. There's a chance you go out on a boat. You don't have any family. Your family's dead.
Yeah, okay, and?
It's either work in a factory or go on a 5-year adventure.
Yeah, go work
in
a factory.
Take the factory.
Fuck the adventure.
I would.
What if your fucking boat sinks 1,000 miles away from any shore ever?
That's a bummer, man. But what if your factory explodes?
There weren't shipping lanes back then.
Sure there were.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't.
1830s. I mean, that's...
Shipping lanes have existed for hundreds and hundreds of years.
I wouldn't be so worried about the safety.
They weren't well monitored.
Especially in America.
I would. I don't want to fucking die.
I'd be more worried about pirates.
Yeah, well, not that. I just... 5 years of just tedium. I mean, who wants to sail for five...
I don't know.
The work is...
Even if you were assured you'd come home, I wouldn't go.
So while on one of his voyages on the Beagles, they come across the Galapagos Islands, right. And that's where he begins to formulate this theory, not just of evolution, but the examples of the finches he found on several beaks. Different islands, right?
Some of them cracking nuts with their beaks.
Exactly right. Armand's got it nailed. So of seemingly the same species of finch found on different islands had variations in beak brought about by the differing types of foods that were available. So on some islands, there was a lot of hard nuts, and these finches had rather large beaks built for crushing nuts and getting inside the little shit.
What I wonder is after how long, though, because eventually, so at the beginning, those finches were what? The same type of finch, right? Or wrong? Am I right here? Or wrong?
I would say they'd have a common ancestor.
Yeah, okay. That's what the whole point is.
So how long did it take for the fucking big beak finch
probably
to be
not
the
very
big
long.
Beak finch?
You wouldn't think it would take too many generations.
Because the ones that can't crack the nuts probably starved, and the ones
or
that
moved
could,
on to a different island.
Or migrated, yeah.
So there was some of the same finches that had the very small kind of pointy beaks that were more for insects, bugs, spiders, and shit right. like that. Some of them that were good for fruits that were found on some of the islands. Point being is, you know, he started to see these differences. Same thing with the turtles that were on the island. Everybody knows about the giant Galapagos tortoises. So he found that some of those
might still be alive, actually. I don't know if they get
his
close.
His died like 150 years after he did. He had a Galapagos turtle.
Some of them hung around a long time.
It's like 120 years past him, but still, long fucking time. Point of my story is here that he started seeing differences in these turtles. Ones on one island had a completely dome-shaped shell all the way around, pretty normal.
Uniform, yeah.
But on another one of the islands, he found some of the turtles had more or less giant openings in the front of their shells where their heads would be, so they can raise their heads up much higher to get the food that was up higher on that island.
Oh, no shit.
So he was seeing, the natural selection taking
Sounds
place.
Sounds Lamarckian.
In the turtles. Well.
Could be.
I mean... Maybe. Again, I would say it's more again natural selection.
Right. That's what
who's able to get the food. But that's pretty much where he started to see the differences in animals and come up with this idea for the theory of evolution. Survival of the fittest being those who were able
Whoever
to adapt.
Whoever can break their shell enough to get the fucking head up.
Breaking your shell would be more of a Lamarckian thing because you would pass along that
You
breaking.
Don't think it would be like rubbing it like over time from lifting your head up and,
You could do that, but that doesn't go in your DNA.
That's the whole point. That's what I'm trying to get at. If it's not in your DNA, do you pass it along?
No, that's the Lamarckian point of view, like where the giraffes would stretch their neck. It's the same thing with the turtles. Turtles stretching their neck over time didn't cause the next generation.
They just adapted better. I mean, like I said, the ones that couldn't died off.
Right, the ones on that island that actually had a hump that already existed there were able to already get the food. Those ones lived. And then whenever those ones lived and procreated, the next generation automatically had a disposition for that small little opening above their head.
I had a disposition for it, I'm saying, but they didn't have it, though.
Right, well, eventually, the
ones that didn't died
right.
out. That's what they,
Right, so say we had three turtles in this crop of turtles this generation. Two of them had it. The third one didn't have it because, whatever mutation didn't happen on him or didn't pass along that particular gene. He died. The other two lived. They passed it along. Eventually, only the ones that had that, which was a requirement to live on an island, are passing it along and living.
And then there's also genetic drift, which...
which is how you get, basically any other...
Well, somehow, how some of these, even what we would call favorable traits, disappear over time, basically. And they equate it to my teacher, as I recalled. You got a jar of marbles, and there's 50 blue and 50 red. And you just reach in there and randomly, which is basically what reproduction is, a lot of these traits... You reach in and you grab 10 marbles, and those are ones that reproduce. You may not have 5 and 5. You may have 6 and 4, 7 and 3.
Right.
And then the next time you grab it in, and you might have, 7 blue and only 1, whatever. And
6, 3, and 1, it's broken in half.
And then one of them just basically, that trait eventually dies out over, thousands of generations or whatever.
Oh, okay. So
blue, things just disappear.
The blue marbles are gone after so many grabs out of the thing.
That's just drift.
So
it has nothing to do with what we call evolution, technically, or adaptability.
Right.
It's just some things, And a lot of the other things are, what we know about genetics or what we find, like an Old Dove Gorge, where the Leakeys found the Australopithecines or whatever the hell they found there, the hominids.
Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy, very good. That's where they found Lucy, yeah. A lot of these things, I always equated, say, there's only so many fossils around. Well, say you, say you're an anthropologist.
I'm an anthropologist.
50,000, okay, 50,000, not you, him. 50,000 years from now, and you broke into and you found a locker room, and it was the wrestling room. Well, you would think that all wrestlers are like 5'8", built like trucks, more or less like me. Or, thank you.
Not at all.
Perfectly built specimens. Or you
Statue
went
of David in the flesh.
You found the basketball you know, the basketball court, and they're all 6'10" and thin, and you know, have no muscle tone whatsoever.
Right.
So,
right. Well, you've got one of the. You just kind of touched on one of the biggest arguments against evolution. Is people think that where are all the individual missing links in
there
between?
Are none. That doesn't mean anything. That's not evolution. It's punctuated evolution. Huge changes took place. There is no, that was always what they were looking
for. That's the
missing
point.
Link.
There should be thousands of gradual.
Gradual. What? It's punctuated evolution. That's what it means. They've changed very quickly. In fact, by punctuated evolution, they mean maybe tens of thousands of years go by and there's no changes, really, no discernible changes. And then all of a sudden there's great changes very quickly, like over three or four generations.
So one large mutation is what you're saying.
Well, I would
big
think
changes
that,
very
see, the,
quickly.
The problem I have with that
is half the population would have to fucking die or something, depending on how many people could adapt and survive. Like you said, like the turtles.
Right.
How many
that
people,
would have to become the new mitochondrial fucking.
Exactly.
You know,
I don't know, but that's the mechanism. And, you know, I think it's been proven. That's why I call it punctuated evolution. And like
I'd say it's a theory rather than a proven.
Well, everything's
fact.
A theory.
Okay.
All right. I think we've already established what a theory is.
Anything
that's not global warming
I got
is a theory.
I got a little bit of something to talk about. One of the smartest science guys ever, Louis Pasteur. Familiar with him in the history of biogenesis?
Okay.
So what do you know about biogenesis?
Well, it's like Sega Genesis.
Let me just interject here and say it was his belief that complex living things come only from other living things by means of reproduction. That is, that life does not spontaneously arrive.
Well, yeah, they thought it was spontaneous. Right, that was the theory before him, yeah. Spontaneous generation.
Life would just pop up out of nowhere, like maggots, for instance.
Right, yeah. And that's what they did, the experiment in the meat, you know, and all of a sudden, like, well, okay.
So
appeared.
Apparently, maggots would just appear out of nowhere. They were going to happen.
Right.
But eventually, somebody decided, let's try the same experiment again inside of...
airtight or something?
Yeah, airtight.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. An airtight bell or whatever. And then no maggots came out of there. And then eventually got to use a cotton wool as a filter to keep anything from coming in. But that's basically what led Pasteur on his way to come up with pasteurization.
The germ theory.
Right, well, germ theory.
The germ theory that there's actually.
Perfect, yeah. Are you familiar with abiogenesis?
Abiogenesis.
Abiogenesis.
I think it's abiogenesis, right?
Abiogenesis.
I've been mispronouncing it all these years.
You have.
All right.
It is the natural process by which life
biologic.
Has arisen from non-living matter. Such as simple organic compounds. While the details of this process are still unknown, the prevailing scientific hypothesis is that the transition from non-living to living entities was not a single event, but a gradual process of increasing complexity that involved molecular self-replication, self-assembly, autocatalysis, and the emergence of cell membranes. So the difference there being is that biogenesis states that all life has always come from another life.
Yeah.
So chicken and the egg really fucks with
what
that.
What spawned life at the beginning, right?
Well, biogenesis doesn't have an answer for that. Abiogenesis is fine with a couple fucking...
bubbling piles of primordial ooze.
Yeah, primordial ooze, basically mixed together some amino acids, some proteins, and next thing you know, we've got life.
They're called...
I mean, is that so hard to think, though? Because it's organic material, right? Isn't that...
We don't know that's the truth, though.
That's a plausible theory, though.
It's the most... likely by our
knowledge. What are they? The thiols or thiones or what are they? These basic that they're looking for other places and apparently they found them.
Oh, like on other planets or whatnot?
Yeah.
Dude, that's an interesting segue I wanted to talk about too on this episode is evolution on other planets.
How does that work? Yeah.
Would you guys agree with me that in nature the simplest path is almost always the taken path?
Yeah.
So
that's Occam's razor.
Right.
Occam's razor. Resistance, right?
So. Let's think about locomotion in an animal. The most simple way to get it is like a little flipping, like a flagellum, right? Basically,
you think it's just slithering, basically, where you're just kind of like a snake?
Past the point of being a single cell, you know, as soon as you have any kind of way that is not just slithering or blobbing around.
Depends on your environment, though. I mean, what if you're
a
cloud
water,
creature?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, water, obviously.
But still, even in the cloud, you're still going to have something similar to, you know, a flap of some sort to move you around, I would think. At least as the start of your evolution, you're not going to start out with air jets. My point is this. Yeah. Shouldn't all life basically start out the same way and branch out based on environment?
No. If indeed the laws of our physics permeate
true,
the
right?
entire, so, which they've you know, pretty much it, proven,
so
they've
at that
claimed
point,
the universe.
In my opinion, to take it far enough, then you can probably think about that legs and eyes are two things that are... going to be pretty common on species across
the
universe.
I don't know about that because they talk about other species that are able to see color, not see sounds And, you know, what do they call it? There's actually a name for that. Sin.
Synesthesia.
Yeah, synthesia, I think. Synesthesia.
It's when you take acid. You can hear colors and see sounds.
I'll try that. But they say, like, Stevie Wonder can see music, supposedly. You know, he's blind, but he sees music somehow.
A G is red.
Yeah, whatever it is. He's got some code. I guess it works. Because those
fucking people with the echolocation? That's hardly related.
People have that?
Dude, yeah. You understand? They're blind people, then they do that.
Okay. Like with bats, huh?
It's fucking gnarly.
Very, very similar.
Well, your other senses kind of take over for that. So I don't know if you really necessarily have to have, you know, what we would consider an eye or...
My whole point is that evolution is a simple path, and it should take you to just barely what you need to get by, right? You're not going to immediately evolve, like the eyeballs we have now would not immediately one hit evolve.
It's not going to evolve.
So my point is, shouldn't life on other planets be at least somewhat familiar to us as long as they have a similar... composition in atmosphere and gravity.
I don't know. Have we established there is like life on other planets?
We have.
Or at least
saying,
advanced life.
Just taking the thought process to some. If we were to find something with multicellular life that has evolved to maybe not intelligent, but at least a complex life, it would stand to reason to me that just by Occam's razor, it'd be very familiar, at least in makeup, to what we have.
Well, when we did the extraterrestrial show, all these things, all these beings that people supposedly see, they do have a certain commonality to them.
Well, they're more humanoid.
Right, exactly.
I just mean even like they could be three-legged creatures, but they would have the same type of makeup where you have a body, you have limbs, sensory organs.
How can you even assume that it's going to be, they're going to be like bone and muscle
and
tissue? I mean, what I'm assuming is that they could be like fucking
a tree. What I'm assuming is the basis of locomotion in its simplest form is, you know, you got to start at one simple little thing.
And does a thing have to have locomotion, though? Could it be to be intelligent?
It doesn't have to.
I would think it
would. But a cell, generally, like all cells would start, you would think if they would have to move, or otherwise they're not going to find other cells to reproduce with.
I don't know. I guess you shoot spores out or whatever. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of ways.
No, that's a good point.
Or asexual reproduction.
I'm thinking animal life, too, rather than
That's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah. A lot of animals that are asexual. They're, you know, they split apart, stuff like that. So.
I'm pretty sure there is a whole field of science, though, that is basically extraterrestrial.
Biology. Astrobiology.
I think that's what it's called,
Boy, they give degrees in anything these days, don't they?
I'd like to have a degree in that. I think I'm...
That'd be real tough to get.
Yeah, it'd be kind of an honorary thing.
Yeah.
We figure, make college free
so we can all be astrobiologists.
So let's get into some questions that kind of shit on evolution real quick. And the most famous, or
try to dispel it. Yeah, the notion.
Well, one of the hardest questions to answer if you believe in evolution is what came first, the chicken or the egg?
I'm going to go with the egg.
Because if you believe evolution is a gradual change, then the egg, you know, the whole chicken and egg thing really fucks with you.
Yes.
You think chicken? Why is that, Armand?
Mammals don't have eggs, so that doesn't apply. Yeah, platypus and the echidna, but they're the only two species
that we know of that have ever
Komodo dragon.
Just say they didn't exist before that.
That's the only two mammals that lay eggs, I believe.
Komodo dragon,
monotremes. Yeah, monotremes. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a stupid question, isn't it? I mean,
it's the spirit of the question. You know what I mean?
What is the spirit of the question? I don't see what the logic or illogic of it is.
Well, how can you have an animal be created by? Something that needs itself to be created. Like, you can't create an egg.
You have a single-celled organism that divides into two cells.
You just
get
lucky and get an egg? Sure. I mean, that seems pretty...
One of them turns into an egg?
That sounds like creationism over evolution.
At the same time, one gets a penis and one gets a giant?
No. What you're basically saying, though, is that if you can jump right to an animal that creates an egg, I mean, that's a huge jump. That's not
It's a gradual jump, but it starts from, you know, singular cells.
But then it wouldn't be the egg, because the egg would have to evolve long before that. Like, so I guess you could have a chicken that eventually mutates that its next evolution,
so what would
or
be
next
the,
reproduction is done by egg.
Okay, so what would be the upshot of that? That God created us, and there is no such thing as evolution?
Well, that would be the other side.
Yeah, that's the argument to this, for sure.
I don't have an answer to that. I don't necessarily buy that either. But again, the chicken or the egg thing really...
I don't think that disproves anything.
It doesn't disprove anything.
It's an interesting metaphysical, philosophical
Exactly. There's
question.
No way to prove or disprove evolution. If we did, it wouldn't be a theory. It'd be either bullshit or law.
No, well, we have already gone over this. There is no such thing as proving a theory in science.
Well, I mean, what about theory of gravity?
So what? You still can't prove it. Yeah. It can't. You know, you can drop it a million times, but one of these times, maybe the damn thing will float. You know, you have to accept it.
Maybe.
Gravity always works.
No, it doesn't always work.
Unless
in space,
by an outside
there's no
force.
Such thing as gravity. Where
sure,
is
there is gravity. Is any is a force between any two objects, no matter how far away.
Not at the quantum level. How do you know that?
Well, that's fair. I don't know shit about quantum mechanics. That's what I'm saying. Nobody does.
Well, everything breaks down at the quantum level, so maybe there's no such thing. That's why they can't unite gravity and the other field theory.
Sure, unified theory.
Right.
You guys remember the first time you heard about the split paper experiment or whatever the fuck they called that? Split fin?
Double split?
Double slit.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. By Mr. Young.
Blew my mind. Yeah. That was weird. That's gnarly.
Well, that's quantum. Yeah,
that's gnarly fucking shit.
Quantum entanglement, all this stuff that defies what we would consider as, you know, obviously physics.
Quantum versus the macro world is quite weird.
Well, and Einstein pretty much disproved as much Newton, really threw Newton on his ear.
Yep.
You know, relativity.
Let me ask you this, Armand. You familiar with the trilobite?
Yeah. I've seen.
You've seen a couple of them.
All right.
Which is generally regarded as one of the first hard-bodied creatures out there. Why have we not found anything in the fossil record as an ancestor to the trilobite?
Right, right. That's inexplicable. I don't know. That's a weird one. But maybe they haven't found it. I mean, okay, they haven't found an ancestor to it. I don't know.
But
it's a pretty much unique creature.
But look how fucking common trilobite fossils have been.
Yeah, very.
That's my problem with it. As common as trilobites are, we have not found any kind of precursor.
So what's the argument against evolution there? That a trilobite just appeared out of nothing else?
Well, I don't know, pretty much. I mean, where could it have come from if it didn't have a precursor? If evolution is a change over time, there should be something in the fossil record predating that that shows like
I don't think any of us have argued that this is a completely ironclad, entirely provable quote theory.
Sure.
I think the preponderance of the evidence is that, you know, in fact, I'm not against like teaching creationism in classroom either.
I agree.
Why? Because why?
Why not?
If I were a teacher, if I were teaching this stuff, I'd say, look, personally, if anybody asks me, and they probably would, I believe that there is evolution. That does not disprove the theory of God. In fact, to me, God creating the whole universe makes just as much sense as a goddamn Big Bang, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. Agreed. Everything coming from nothing?
Agreed. I'm right there with you.
But that doesn't mean there's no God if there's evolution. I mean, God may have willed evolution, but it's very hard to deny that this stuff is real, that man came from something, a precursor.
Right.
And then,
I would say people in the Bible.
Have you ever heard of Byron Nelson? He wrote a book called After Its Kind, came out in 1970.
What's his name?
Byron Nelson.
I thought he was a golfer.
There is a Byron Nelson that's a golfer. That's funny.
I've never read that.
This guy, here's a quote from his book, actually. Okay. If throughout past ages life was actually drifting over into one continual stream from one form to another, it is to be expected that as many samples of the intermediate stages between species should be discovered in fossil condition as of the species themselves, as should all should be in a state of flux. With me so far?
I disagree with that.
Carrying on then. Mm-hmm. But these missing links are wanting. There are no fossils of creatures whose scales were changing into feathers or whose feet were changing into wings, no fossils of fish getting legs or of reptiles getting hair. The real task of geological evolutionists is not to find the missing link as if there were only one. The task is to find those thousands upon thousands of missing links that connect the many fossil species to one another.
The ones that had menial changes versus big
right,
ones,
the right? thousands and thousands.
Think, should, yeah, but I don't think that's what evolution implies. I don't think that we're just gradual.
Didn't we define, I mean, what did we define it as earlier in the show?
A common ancestor. That's all there is to it.
Evolution is literally just common ancestor.
Yeah.
What was the definition?
It was the gradual change over time due to mutation, basically, in survival of the fittest. Mutations that were make an animal more adapt or a life form more adapted to its surroundings.
Yeah, but I don't think even all species evolved from the same ancestor. There may have been, you know, millions of ancestors.
So then why does everything have very similar DNA? Like everything has DNA.
Well, you said it yourself. There's a certain life, you know, certain things in life that may be even universal, like even planet to planet. I don't know. But that DNA, that is the same thing.
Had to be the first one, right?
Yeah.
There had to be a first.
I mean, that's like saying, you know, every painting's the same. They all have paint, or every word's the same. They all use letters.
That's what I was saying.
You know, earlier. DNA is just the alphabet of life.
Do you accept that life on this planet was likely created from, originates from a single life
form? I don't know. It sounds more and more like something from space. It came from space.
Okay, so that's fine. I'm not saying the origin of it where it came from space or came from amino acids and proteins on our planet.
The building blocks, I think, came from space.
Wherever that first one came from, wherever the building blocks came from, do you think that all life on this planet originates with a single?
No, I don't think so. I think there could have been many seeds, for lack of a better term.
And I just wonder then, why do we all share this, the common building block of life of DNA? You know what I mean? It's
I would basically say the same DNA. I'd say more carbon than is the common building block.
I mean, what's the most plentiful element in the universe?
There it is.
It's not about the element. It's about the makeup of how genetic information is stored.
Hydrogen makes up 90% of everything in this universe. Okay, sure. So that's like saying, well, okay, it's all made of hydrogen. DNA makes up life. That's all there is to it.
But it's made of hydrogen. So hydrogen makes up life.
So,
well, there's hydrogen, carbon.
So that's a pretty big step to say that all life requires DNA in the same form as we know it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a hell of a...
I'm not saying it, but on Earth, it's conceivable that, you know, other forms of life just didn't make it. Maybe there are other forms. They didn't make it.
That's fair.
There were dinosaurs. Remember?
They're based on DNA, of course. Yeah. But I'm just saying, maybe there were other silicon-based or whatever that aren't even carbon-based. But these
it would seem to me, though, the reason that even silicon-based life would still need some sort of way to encode genetics.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Be it DNA or some other analog. Maybe
it
doesn't.
For one of a word, you know, how about the multiverse? Maybe there are other universes where it can't evolve without DNA.
I can't accept that, though. How can anything be created from something else without a map to make it? I mean, there's got to be a way.
But you're here again. The physical laws apply not only in our universe everywhere, but in every other universe. I don't think so.
So Everett,
that's why a lot of universes don't even survive.
Yeah.
What about a mountain?
What are you talking about?
What's it take to make a mountain?
Earthquakes? Time?
No, a mountain. Yeah, the crust.
Plate tectonics.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's not like a design. That just happens. And it made a mountain.
I don't think he's saying anything about design. What's your main...
I don't know. I'm trying to...
Well, I mean, if you're citing this article that we should be finding a million different, you know...
I'm not saying we should. I just find it weird that we don't at all times find a myriad of in-betweens.
Because I think, like I said, I think evolution...
think it's big steps.
Yeah, I don't think evolution is a gradual... No, it's big changes.
It should be from forefinger to one generation later, five-finger. Like... Because you can do that now. We have people now that have mutations, like birth defects, where you have a sixth finger.
Syndactyly,
so
sure.
You, see it all so time. You would argue that a lot of the major advances in evolution are very similar to what we consider birth defects now, or just complete changes in what we know normal physiology.
I think change has gone very quickly.
I mean, that's an interesting
theory.
That
doesn't necessarily mean they fossilize either. I don't know. I mean,
and that's another good point, too.
They may be under...
There's conditions that have to arise for something to get fossilized.
Right.
Not every you know... example of a species, like not all of us are going to walk outside.
Not every mosquito got caught in amber.
Exactly my point. You know,
but that's not a bad argument. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer but I don't know if it
completely agree.
Sure, you can make that argument, but
Well, here's another good one. Let's pass that one up. I'm just none of these are right or wrong. Again, we can't prove anything. But
these are the major objections.
A Reddit comment. I was reading articles on Reddit or threads on Reddit. People talking about evolution, and this popped out to me. The eye doesn't work without all the components. So this obviously leads to some weird transitional specimens that we've never found. Why would a creature evolve a retina and not be able to use it and then pass on a useless body part? It wouldn't. It goes against every assumption in macroevolution. It goes on. Irreducible complexity. Living organisms are fully functioning systems. They don't work without their parts functioning together as a whole. So what they're saying is there can't be any less complex versions of the eye. It couldn't have evolved that way because you wouldn't. I agree. This is bullshit, but I just found it to be an interesting argument that a lot of people use, is the eye couldn't have evolved slowly into what it is now, which it totally did. Why can't it? That's just what they're saying, because you wouldn't be able to evolve a retina, and then if it wasn't a complete eye, like why would he keep that retina around for the next generation?
Well, do you have an appendix?
Right, well, that's something.
That's reverse.
That's useless. I mean,
that's something that was used before.
That's a vestigial organ.
So this is what you were talking about before the show, how you were saying, what is our next logical step of evolution?
Right.
Is there something in our body that exists already that is our next step of evolution that we don't even know how it works?
Oh,
that's the same thing with the retina.
Coccyx is the, the vestigial
tailbone. Right.
That's all it is. Useless.
But it's not that. It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about
Something totally different.
We've passed up evolutionary. We're talking about what could be like a piece of our brain that we don't know it exists yet, a small little like lobe inside of our brain that could be a new organ.
I got this. 80,000 years ago, monkeys started getting bumps right here. Over time, they grew into a thumb. Just an example. So is there something on us today that we aren't recognizing as could be an evolutionary trait? Anything, you know? I just thought it was a great question to try to entertain.
What if the sternum right now is evolving into a horn that comes off of us?
Yes, you can kill people.
Telepathy or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Communication.
But I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, I've heard that argument about, you know, the complexity of the eye could not be through evolution. A lot of people say that. That almost has to be divine in his creation.
That's the argument.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, you're right, because I watched this great video. It was done by Richard Dawkins. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah. Big one of the four big atheists. Yeah.
Right.
The four horsemen of what do they call themselves?
There's four
horsemen of the non-apocalypse or something.
Richard Dawkins and Neil deGrasse and then...
No. These guys are big
before,
time.
Before
Neil. Yeah, he's a physicist.
It's the 70s.
These guys are like scientific philosophers. Right. Yeah.
So he did a really cool... You can find this video on the internet. Let me see if I got a link to it here.
We're talking about Dawkins here?
Right. So Richard Dawkins' video. Richard Dawkins demonstrates the evolution of the eye. That's what you'll search on YouTube. So he goes and he sets up a camera... Basically pointing at a patch of white light. It's hard to explain. He basically just shows, though, that at first the first things that have an eye, so to speak, aren't an eye at all. They're a patch of tissue that is photosensitive. Mm. So they can tell that there's either brightness or darkness. That's how it starts out.
That's what the eye started as.
And after that, you start getting what they called an eye in a cup. He demonstrates it by basically putting a cup around it. But in an animal, it would be more like a depression. To where your little photosensitive patch lies in the depression.
Right.
Now, what that gets you is a little bit of shadow. Mm. So you can start to discern from the little bit of the shadow you're getting over to that ridge is a direction.
Yes.
So eventually, carrying on with evolution, that little ridge grows more and more and more and more and more over the top of the depression to become a hole shining down onto your little photosensitive patch. And the more of that hole gets smaller and the more it comes up around like that, that animal gets a more of a directional view of where that light's coming from. So you could start to go towards a light sources for probable food or maybe even predator warnings or something like that. But then what eventually happens is there's some species right now, actually like octopuses, who have a similar eye to that, where there's seawater that comes in and out. Nautiluses have a similar pinhole eye. But what eventually happened was a piece of tissue grew over that as a protective piece, and it functioned as a rudimentary lens. It was that first came around. And if you, again, watch this video, it's great. He does the whole thing right in front of you, showing you how the resolution increases just by changing the way the light passes through and hitting the same photoreceptive patch. Good stuff.
Here again, like I said, none of this stuff to me disproves the theory. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with being, quote, skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what every scientist should be.
Should be.
You know, I mean, I am too. Believe me, I like this. I like these interrogatory the questions about what's going on, because I want to learn more about it. And if there are, you know, if there are gaps in it, why? And how come we don't know this stuff? And how do we find out? That's
so something that got me when we were doing our research was metamorphosis, like, you know, butterflies and, you know, other things.
Moths.
Yeah.
How and why?
Yeah. How and why, man? What is that? Is this evolution? What the fuck we got going on here? This is metamorphosis. What is that? I just don't, you know what I mean? How's that fit into the picture?
Well, the big ones, the moths in England, that apparently changed their color because the ones that were darker survived. Before the Industrial Revolution, there were more white moths. And because of the Industrial Revolution and because of the, you know, soot coating everything, right, the dark moths survived because they were better, you know.
They were camouflaged more.
Yeah, camouflaged better against their predators. And the white moths pretty much died out.
Well, what he's wanting to know is at what point did insects split off to where they wouldn't have an, like, it's the same thing with eggs, though. If you think about the larva pupa stage, it's the same thing where an egg has everything on the inside of it. And it's your own little stages of life that form up through. It's just they're done before.
Right.
I don't know.
Is it like going through puberty for them, Evander?
No, not really. I guess they come out adults, but.
Caterpillar?
I guess it is kind of like puberty.
Is it larva, pupa? Chrysalis, all those.
Depending on the species.
Several stages. But my question to you is, how harmful is it? When I brought up teaching creationism, and I'd like to bring some politics into it. Is it that harmful? Because I have a friend of mine that, you know, he's always saying, well, the governor of Kansas, for instance, I don't know, he doesn't believe in evolution. Do you really give a crap?
And?
If you're I don't really give a crap.
You know what I mean? What's his fiscal policy?
Now, if he's basing his fiscal policy and he's making policy and legislature based on that stuff, then yeah, fuck him, get him out.
Going, I don't believe in evolution nor abortion, because then I'm getting a little carried away. You're talking about physical, you're talking about, you know, personal liberties versus
That's what ideology. the whole Scopes trial was about in 1925. There was an actual law in Tennessee that you couldn't teach evolution. That's right. Was that the Burns? Something like that. Or the Burn.
Zach brings up a great point in the chat. He said, going back to evolution, before our very eyes, they have said that the apes are entering their own stone age.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's not really. I don't know if that proves evolution. Biological.
Well, no, it's more social, but still, I think that's a good thing to come back to. Like, you know, they're in the Stone Age now. They're using tools. How long is it going to be before they need a fucking thumb? You know what I mean? To hold that hammer.
Well, that's the big change. Really, the opposable thumb.
Well, that's what
separates your humans. Really. That's what led to the, you know, cooking and stuff like that. Which,
well, if they're in the Stone Age now, they're definitely going to need things to carve the stone with.
It's a butler act. That's what I was thinking of. But I mean, going back to what I'm saying, though, I mean, is it any, do you care? Like, let's say you made a girl, okay, now that you're out dating again. I don't believe in evolution. Do you give a rat's ass? You're still just trying to get laid, right? I mean, really, is that a deal breaker for you?
Yeah, sure. Evolution ain't real, motherfucker. Come here. It's somebody's personal belief.
Right, right. So I don't know. I mean, that's I hear this a lot from people that, you know, if you don't believe in evolution, you're a real dumbass. As a, you know, and global warming too, by the way. Oh, but yeah. Evolution.
See, I think what the statement should be revised and say, if you are a hardliner that doesn't believe in evolution, you're a dumbass.
Really? That would make you say, well, you're pretty stupid. Because at this
point, you're getting really religious again. And by saying I'm sure evolution is fake. Like,
yeah, evolution's fake.
Yeah, that again, that's
if
just
if you believe in evolution, you're believing in religion, is what I'm saying.
In evolution,
you have to be stupid to believe in it. Well, do you have to be? That means you're stupid to believe in religion, then, because, you know, by extension,
why are you stupid to believe in religion?
Yeah, but global warming, Armand,
because you don't believe in evolution, then.
Armand, global warming is a religion because you believe it wholeheartedly.
Absolutely, with no proof whatsoever. In fact, much to the contrary.
Well. There's been a little bit of evidence there.
Man-made, not global warming. Well,
somebody's going to make it.
You know,
God. Fucking papers. God's not writing papers on global warming.
No, like, I guess God's not getting any grants.
I got some really good quotes from some celebrities, actually.
Okay. This will be good. Okay.
So Chuck Norris.
This will settle it once and for all.
It should.
I should probably preface everything here saying these are all people who are against evolution. Nobody
really
here.
Chuck Norris?
Because most people don't come out in support of evolution. That's just called being normal.
Yeah.
So it's the ones that
support. I believe it. I'm not saying if I support
you don't support evolution.
Armand supports evolution, folks. You're here for
I support global
the
warming.
The evolution is bullshit. You have to support that.
Right. Well, okay. What does Chuck say?
So Chuck says it's cute. But here's what I really think about the theory of evolution. It's not real. It's not the way we got here. So far, so good. You're with him, right?
All
right. In fact, the life you see on this planet is really just a list of creatures God is allowed to live.
Ooh.
Way to go, Chuck.
I would have thought he'd be a Buddhist or something, you know? I didn't study all that Eastern, you know, fighting.
Texas Ranger, man.
That's true. Walker, Texas Ranger.
In the eyes of a ranger.
The unsuspecting stranger.
So do you think you Chuck's an idiot? So you think Chuck's stupid? Right.
Do I think Chuck's stupid?
In the eyes of
I can't fault him.
Is he doing?
No, I don't think Chuck's stupid for saying this, honestly.
Well, I mean, it implies. I think
he'll kick your neck off, Armand.
Even at his age, he probably
I've
would.
I've seen him kick a guy's neck completely out. The head was attached to the body. Was crazy.
In fact, he burned it when he went through it so fast.
He could unscrew a bottle cap with his foot.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You seen this thing people are doing now?
Yeah. No.
It's that new guys.
People are doing
the chainsaw.
Spinning back kicks.
No, they're trying
to do to flip a bottle. So you take a bottle and get the cap loosely on there, then you do a back kick and spin the cap off.
Yeah.
Jason Statham did a really good one where he did a fucking back kick and just smacked the lid and goes, flies off the bottom.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
Yeah.
Is Conor McGregor doing that too? What
I don't know. Anyway. A lot of people are doing it. It's fucking
I gotta look that up sometime soon.
Okay.
But I can't fault Chuck Norris. He doesn't know. He believes in God for one, in his religion.
Right.
Just because.
Einstein believed in God too.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's another one. Ben Stein.
I met him.
You met Ben Stein. You were on the show.
Yeah.
Darwinism asks us to believe that you can destroy genetic material through random mutation and natural selection and yet end up with more genetic material. Yeah, I think he doesn't quite understand the whole thing there.
Yeah, I'm not sure
that's
true.
Sounds like a complete lack of understanding.
But, well, he's an economist, you know. I mean,
true. Who did he work for? What paper was it? New Yorker? New York Post?
Probably not.
I think he worked for one of them.
Yeah, maybe one of them. But I think he taught at Pepperdine.
Did he?
I think he's an economics teacher.
Ann Coulter, I know you love her.
Yeah, she's all right.
I would like evolution to join the roster of other discredited religions, like the cargo cult of the South Pacific.
Man, I never heard of that one.
Makes sense. But Mike Huckabee, if anybody wants to believe that they are descendants of a primate, they're certainly welcome to do it.
Senator Mike Huckabee?
But that's not evolution either.
Right.
But then again, dismiss them from being, you know, president or governor of Arkansas?
I just think it's funny to point these people out who believe this.
It does if they write law and legislative based on that belief.
Right, but I haven't heard anybody saying that. Let's take evolution out of the schools. I haven't heard say. If I hear that, I'm totally against that. But is there anything wrong with teaching it? Yes. Like I said, if I were a teacher, I'd say, look, this preponderance of evidence
leads to
evolution. But creationists think this. And if a child asks me, well, what do you think, teacher? Say, well, I believe in evolution. God did but that it, doesn't, baby. But don't go home and tell your parents.
George
that
W.
No God.
Bush says the jury is still out on evolution. So W says it.
Yeah, he was like, I ain't answering this one yet. No way.
That's a great politician's answer.
Uh-huh. Kirk Cameron, you guys all familiar with Kirk Cameron?
Kirk Cameron.
The actor. He's a real big, everybody knows he's a real big Christian. I remember with the braces. Yeah. From, what was it?
Family Ties?
No, Family. No, it was
Hogan Family.
One with Alan Thicke?
Yeah.
Hogan Family.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains, yeah. A little Ben the Brothers.
What was the other one? Is that Hogan Family?
Hogan Family and Mrs. Poole had Jason Bateman.
Yeah, he was in there, wasn't he? Real early on. Forgot about Jason Bateman.
So what does Kirk say?
Kirk says,
chicks loved him, man.
If the anti-Christian agenda will say, here's your identity. You're an evolved amoeba who ought to just go and do whatever you want and don't let anybody tell you different.
Say that again?
It's written horrible, but it says, if the anti, I think it's an incomplete fucking quote, if the anti-Christian agenda will say, here's your identity. You're an evolved amoeba who ought to just go do whatever you want and don't let anybody tell you different. So basically what he's saying is, you know, the liberals out there, the anti-Christians will say, you have no path. You're just an evolved amoeba. There is no consequence.
Right, and that to me means that there is no morality. You know?
Right.
He's equating evolution with
anti-morality.
Yeah, right.
Because if God didn't create you,
why be good? You might as well kill and steal and covet thy neighbor's ass.
Yeah, but you can't tie morality to religion or even a belief in God, because I don't wake up every day believing in God and I don't kill anyone. I don't walk around. You know what I mean? You can't tie morality to a belief.
But that's your choice. You're doing that because he's saying there's some certain universal morality that God made these laws, whereas opposed to man-making
laws. Why do I have to? I don't understand. I don't think that. Why do people think that God made the law? Why is it a law? My morality tells me I don't have to. Oh, well, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Exodus, it's just I believe, Moses, was the book. Well, the Ten Commandments. Just, Did you see the movie?
No.
Because Charlton Heston brought the laws down.
I thought this was a good one here. It's Ben Carson.
Okay, that's interesting.
This whole creation evolution controversy has been raging on really from the beginning. Because what's Satan's plan?
Ooh.
To get rid of God, to disparage God, to mischaracterize God. So what he's saying is evolution is just a way to make people fucking go against something God did.
Well, think about it. Now, that to me is almost
That's a perfect
sense.
Christian argument.
Yeah. If there were a God and there were a Satan, Satan would arrange for evolution to everything that we see to indicate there is no God, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I thought that was a great quote by Ben Carson there.
Well, that guy's brilliant, man. Are you kidding?
Is he?
He's a neurologist, right?
Man.
Yeah, he's a neurosurgeon.
Yeah, you don't get
to be. But did you know he thought that the pyramids were for
grain or something?
Yeah, grain storage.
Listen, I know some doctors are great doctors. I know the first thing about history, but I'm telling you, to be a board certified neurologist.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, he's very smart. Yeah.
How about Kurt Schilling says, why don't apes still evolve into humans if that was the path? Why doesn't any creature evolve into another creature entirely if we all came from one organism? So his problem is, why don't we see evolution on a daily basis?
He doesn't understand it.
Yeah, he thinks it happens on the reg. Like, I don't know. You guys know what he's saying. He's fucking.
But you guys would agree that everybody that seems like that disagrees with evolution, that the point that basically what underscores their opinion is, they're probably believing God, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to make that point about global warming. The people that really believe in it, truly believe that it's man-made global warming, are usually Marxists, globalists, and statists.
Fucking commies.
Because they think the only thing that's going to solve this is by like some universal government.
I was going to say, you're talking one world government.
Right, there. Exactly. That's the problem I have with global at its base. That's the problem.
You think it's just a guise for the start of an NWO.
Exactly, because we hate capitalism.
This fucking guy, he's our listener base.
That's a long con. Well, I mean.
Well, it is. That's what I'm saying. But. You know, to deny science, you're going to have some kind of alternative science, and that's your science.
Well, yeah.
In the example of evolution, it's religion. In the example of global warming, it's socialism or globalism. That's the only thing. It's not like they say, listen, we got to have totally nuclear power over the next 10 years. Well, that would be a viable, right? That actually does something about it.
Yeah.
Do you hear anybody saying that?
No.
No, we have to have more carbon taxes. The rich countries have to give to the poor countries, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, because there's still more oil to sell.
No, that's not what they say. I'm talking about the global warming people. They don't want to sell more oil. Stop using oil. Stop using coal.
What I'm saying is there's still more oil to sell, so we can't quit using it yet. Come on. We got to make money.
Yeah, why bother to stop selling the oil?
Because it's cheap.
So.
It's a hell of a lot cheaper than solar.
It's like diamonds. It's only as cheap as we say it is.
That's true.
No, that's incredible. See, now that's a total misconception about economics. That's as bad as evolution.
You don't think they can just start making more oil? Like they could pump, like right now they can increase production and drop pricing.
Of course
they
can.
What I'm saying is scarcity is false.
There is no scarcity.
There is a finite supply.
That's why the price has gone down. It's not going up.
My point
up.
Is the only reason they can make it expensive, it's like diamonds in that regard. They can just slow down production.
They're setting the market value.
Yeah, right. But people don't need it. See, that's price. You don't understand what price inelasticity is.
Apparently not.
People can, okay, elasticity means you got to have food. You got to have oil, okay? They could raise as high as they want. That means it's price inelastic. Diamonds is not that way. I don't need it.
That's fair. That's fair.
You don't need like a diamond. Right. Fair. So they can't raise it to ad infinitum because you're going to say, fuck it.
They can raise it to whatever the market will bear.
Exactly.
Right.
Oil's not like that. It's price inelastic. You have to have it.
If there was some other type of oil alternative, then maybe
there would be. Well, if solar were the same price,
or even
we'd all be using solar.
Or if biofuels were more readily available.
Anything. Yeah. It's not, unfortunately. Wind is not. It's four times as expensive. Ask the Germans. That's why we don't use it.
Well, we got any final thoughts on this, the evolution thing today?
Yeah, I think it's definitely true, but I don't think it's perfected yet. What they have out and what they know, what we know as a...
But I think very little of science we know is perfected, unfortunately.
We
don't know if
we're best guessing, man. Best fucking guess. That's okay, all science
let me
is
ask
best
you,
guess.
What do you think the state of... Because I don't really hear, like even in the debates or whatever, I don't remember hearing anybody talking about, Democrat or Republican, I'm talking about what's the state of the argument, you know, the actual... It's not like abortion and these hot button issues.
Right.
Right? I mean, we're not on the streets arguing about... Is there evolution or
no,
God?
It's because it's not a per. It's not like very.
So it's not that
pressing.
Important. Right?
Upstart says one word here. I read his whole thing. He comes up with one word here that makes me have a whole other argument on evolution.
Okay.
The coelacanth.
What the hell is that?
Coelacanth. Yeah. Well, they thought it was
extinct for millions and millions of years.
In the 30s, they found one somewhere in Africa or in a lake.
Almost
somewhere.
No change.
Yeah.
From millions of year old fossils
right. to that.
But a pork. Wow. But apparently cockroaches haven't evolved much either.
Yeah,
over like 100
about alligators,
years.
Man. Crocodiles, they don't fucking evolve very much. That's the same.
They evolve a fair amount.
A little bit.
Okay.
But whatever. My point is, you know, mm-hmm. why is evolution, I guess you don't evolve if you don't need to.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
That's a good question. Does a species evolve if it doesn't need to?
No. Why
would it? If you're perfectly suited for your habitat,
No, that's perfectly suited for your habitat in comparison to other species in the same habitat.
True. Right. Yeah. Well, 99% of the species that roam the earth are extinct.
I mean, you could argue that. Why would humans evolve with the intelligence we have if it's not necessarily needed to survive in our environment?
It was necessary, though.
I mean,
well, it wasn't necessary to survive in the environment. We adapted.
You had to be smart enough to know what, you know, if you're out at night, you got to watch for the little bright lights for a panther's eyes. You know what I mean? You had to be able to pick things out to survive.
Well, we're more visual. I mean, that's why dogs and certain species have better, you know, the nose or olfactory.
No.
Smell.
No, I'm not following.
Smell. Well, some smell. I mean, they smell their prey or whatever. We don't. Yeah. We're more visual. We come from the trees.
Okay, right.
So that's how we got, you know, supposedly. But I'm just, it just doesn't seem like such a hot button issue anymore.
No, it's really not.
When I was in high school, it was a big argument. A lot of arguing. I mean, politicians honestly, were arguing about it.
Well,
religious
in the 40s,
people.
When you were in high school, Armand, I bet evolution was a hot button.
The 20s. I was at the Scopes trial.
All right, guys. Well, let's put a button on this. We'll come back a little bit more on the after show, talk a little bit more about evolution. Everybody on the live chat today, you've only got a few more minutes to get your voicemails in, get me some emails, info@SerialTalkPodcast. You can find our voicemail widget on SerialTalkPodcast.com. Right. Be sure to check out all of our social media. Right. Just back. Google us at Serial Talk Podcast. And on top of that, I got to kind of talk to you guys a little bit about our partnership we've been having with Pure Ratios.
Yes, the ratios that they provide. Fucking pure
and shit.
Yeah.
Now Pure Ratios is a company that's been working with us to get the word out about their product. They're a CBD company. If you're not familiar with CBD, it is one of the non-psychoactive chemicals in marijuana cannabis.
Yes.
While THC gets you high, CBD is more like used for medical reasons. People use it for any type of ailments from anxiety to inflammation to directly on abrasions, such as what Armand did. He said he had a lot of pain relief from it. To all sorts of different uses for CBD. So head over to pureratiocbd.com. They got a lot of information about the uses. They've got every different type of product you can think of, from edibles. We're talking lozenges to chocolates to
topical
honey
inhalants.
And they have inhalants. Oh, they do. They have the vape pens. They've got lotions. They've got tropical salves.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of
balm. They probably got fucking eye drops. I don't think I saw those, but
CBD condoms. I think
CBD lubricated condoms.
What else is there?
I don't know.
CBD. I don't know. I got nothing, man. Bread.
Well,
banana bread.
We're getting a little far off topic here. Oh, okay. Pure Ratios was founded by two natural health practitioners with over 45 years of combined hands-on experience, I guess, in natural health.
Yeah.
Their origins are definitely rooted in natural medicine, combining modern science, research, and laboratory testing. The crew at Pure Ratios delivers safe and therapeutic cannabis products. Pure Ratios ships to every state in the union legally, and all products contain less than 0.3% THC, which is what keeps them legal. That THC is a bad thing as far as the government's concerned.
Really?
Yeah, head over to PureRatioCBD.com to learn more. Check out their gigantic selection of products. And while you're there, make sure you use our code. If you end up buying anything, use the code Surreal420 at checkout. That'll give you 20% off this order and every order you make in the future, I guess, for the time being. I don't know. They might shut that code off someday. But for now, fuck yeah, Pure Ratio, Surreal420. Get your stuff there today. Other than that, we'll see you guys here in about 5-10 minutes on the after show.
10, yeah.
Or on the next download. And like Eric said, next week we're going to be off more than off. Likely. We might make it in, depending. We'll try. Probably not. Otherwise, we'll see you guys
here. If we do, it'll be Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah, for those of you who don't listen to the after show, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
All right, catch you then. See it.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.